Happy good morning to everyone. The Lord's Day is a day that God has set aside for His people to come together. It was the day Jesus was raised from the dead. And when you think about all of the amazing events that happened on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, recorded in Acts chapter 2, because Pentecost fell on the first day of the week, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You think about the sermons going forth, plural, because all the apostles were preaching. Peter's words are recorded. You think about the opening of the door of the kingdom in Acts chapter 2, the 3,000 being added to the kingdom. How can you not be happy on the Lord's Day? And so good to be with you all. I appreciate so much Joe's message, pointing our mind's eye to the scenes of Calvary and thinking about Jesus as the light. There's a million ways, a million facets to the diamond of Jesus. And brother, that is one of the most amazing, Jesus as the light, illuminating our way all the way to heaven. Thank you so much for preparing and presenting those thoughts to us. Very helpful. And Leandra and James, you made our day. It is so good to see you guys. I know it's a lot of effort, Leandra, for you to be here, but here you are. That's what faith looks like right now. And we're extremely happy that you're here with us. So glad to have you. We're thankful for the visitors that are with us. And I join with Adam and Joe in welcoming everyone here, and with Mike. The lesson this morning is in view of the song prayer worship this evening. And hopefully you all plan to be here this evening at 5:30. When there are five Sundays in the month, the fifth Sunday evening is set aside for song, prayer, worship together. But the lesson this morning also is to encourage and to reinforce the heartfelt emotion and the outpouring of sincere feelings anytime we seek to worship God in spirit and in truth, privately or collectively, as we are this morning. Sometimes when brethren express such heartfelt emotion, when they're leading a prayer, as we've heard a number of brothers do, express many feelings in that prayer, even cry during that prayer. In the singing of a song, tears may flow. When we're even reading a scripture, I've seen brothers actually, their voice break because it so affected them emotionally as well as intellectually. And sometimes when that happens, a brother, and I've heard this a number of times, may apologize for that. Recently, a brother did so. And I'm sorry that he feels the need to do that, because the Bible is replete. It abounds with examples of God, our Creator, in whose image we are made, expressing a number of emotions in response to a number of things, especially the choices that we human beings make, good and bad. Let's look at a few of those examples of God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus expressing emotion, always perfectly, because there's always a perfect balance to God's emotion. Exodus 32. Let's start there, please. Exodus chapter 32. Please turn with me to that passage. We'll be looking at a number of passages, old and new. Exodus 32, verse 7. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "Go down at once, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They've made for themselves a molten calf and have worshiped this and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" Verse 9 of Exodus 32. The Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people. They are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation. And so while Moses is on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments, Israel's down below, and they're breaking a number of those commandments. God was so angry with Israel, he was ready to destroy the entire nation and begin a new nation through Moses. God was angry. Most people have no problem seeing this emotional aspect of God. You say, you know, God sometimes shows emotion. People would say, yeah, God sometimes is angry. And they might even remember this occasion in Exodus 32 where he was so angry he was ready to destroy the Hebrew nation. But the Bible shows actually a wide range of emotions. Anger is certainly one aspect of God and his character, but there's a wide range of emotions shown in the scriptures about God. Look with me now at Genesis chapter 6. Go with me to Genesis chapter 6. It's really sad that when you talk about emotions of God, sometimes that's the only emotion people will associate with God, is anger. But look at this in Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every intent of his thought and heart was evil continually. Verse 6, and the Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. God grieved over the sins of man. We read the same thing in Ephesians 4. Paul says, don't act this way because you will grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, if we can understand how God can show the emotion of anger, then we should also be able to understand how God can have the emotion of grief in response to the choices of man. The Psalms reveal a wide range of emotion. Let's go to Psalms now, if you would. Psalm 78. Again, God's summary of God's dealing with Israel in the wilderness. Psalm 78. Let's begin verse 20, please. Verse 20, he struck the rock, so the waters gushed out. The streams were overflowing. And yet we see from the psalm, Israel still doubted. And they said, can he give bread also? Will he provide meat for his people? There's doubt, you see, lack of faith. Verse 21, therefore the Lord heard. He was full of wrath, and fire was kindled against Jacob. And anger also mounted against Israel because they did not believe in God. They didn't trust in his salvation. Look now at verse 37, Psalm 78, 37. Their heart was not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. Verse 38, but he being compassionate. Hailing back Adam to Exodus 34, he being compassionate, they keep going back to that description of God and his glory, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Often he restrained his anger, did not arouse his wrath. Then drop down to verse 40. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Again and again, they tempted God, and New American Standard Translation says, and pained the Holy One of Israel. We have three different emotions of God seen in this very short section here. Anger, compassion, grief, and possibly pain, though we're told the Hebrew word is difficult to translate. A number of emotions. We think of God as omnipotent. He is omniscient, he is omnipresent, he certainly is, but he's also a God who expresses emotion, and we are made in his image. And I want to encourage that heartfelt emotion anytime we're in a song or a prayer, or we're reading scripture privately, collectively, whatever the case may be. The Bible shows us that heartfelt, genuine emotion based on the truth of God's word is certainly something that's good. It's not bad. It's good. I wonder sometimes if we don't do that, because, of course, that makes us vulnerable. And why don't we feel safe doing that in the presence of one another? And I apologize if you don't feel safe in expressing that, because now you've made yourself vulnerable and someone may criticize you. That's a sad thing. We should feel welcoming to one another. Welcoming to one another. Truth is first. Sanctify them with the truth. But the truth shows us that emotion, godly emotion, properly expressed in response to that truth, is a good and wholesome thing. A good and wholesome thing. Look at Psalm 18, please. Psalm 18. We see the emotion of joy and delight here. Psalm 18, verse 17. He delivered me, David says, from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. Verse 19. God, he brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He delighted in me. David teaches an emotion of God that we seldom think about, probably because, if you're like myself, we feel completely unworthy to think of God this way. Unworthy. But yet here's David saying, you know, I was striving to live for the Lord, keep a clean conscience before God. He delighted in me. So what if we today, 3,000 years later, live for the Lord, we're striving to walk in the light and keep a clean conscience? Does not the Lord delight in us? Years ago, I did some missionary work in Australia, and Matthew went with me on my second trip. And in Brisbane, Australia, we met a young man, Matthew. His name was Joseph Aker. I know you remember Joseph Aker. Joseph Aker was born and raised in Nigeria, Africa. But during that time period, there was a lot of civil unrest in Nigeria, and his father was murdered, and then his brother was murdered, and Joseph and his mother realized he was probably going to be murdered, and so he fled Nigeria, and he traveled for a long period of time alone, in peril, through many trials and dangers, all the way down far south into Johannesburg and Pretoria area. There are a number of Christians in Johannesburg and Pretoria. And by the grace of God, he came into contact with some Christians there. They taught him the gospel, and Joseph Aker became a Christian. He later learned of an opportunity in Australia to learn a trade. Australia was opening its doors to a number of people. And Joseph took advantage of that. He traveled to Australia, came to Brisbane, Rochdale in particular. And that's where we met him, was in Rochdale, Australia. And we studied with Joseph during the time we were there. And hearing his story, I thought, well, I need to encourage him. I need to help him understand that he has a strong-rooted relationship with the Lord. But in the process of doing that, he figured out what I was trying to do and interrupted me and said, and he said it, I'll never be able to say it the way he said it, but he said, oh, yes, my Heavenly Father loves me very much, to convince me that I needed to understand that. He certainly understood that. In spite of all he had been through, he understood that. And I'll never forget what he said and how he said it. And it left such an effect on me. It was just lifelong. That's the kind of relationship God wants with us. If we're walking in the light, striving to please him, we know he delights in us. And that is huge motivation and momentum to not turn away from him, not go to the left or the right, or stay on the path, knowing he delights in us, just as he is everything to us. Look with me at, if you will, John 11. Let's go to the New Testament, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And verse 32. Jesus wept on a number of occasions. Openly wept. And most recognizable probably this case in John 11. Verse 32. When Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, Jesus came with the full intent of raising Lazarus from the dead. And so when we see his response, it was not because of the death of Lazarus. We know that. Look at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. And so the Jews were saying, "Behold how he loved him." John uses two Greek terms here to describe Jesus' inner feelings. The New American Standard translates it as he was deeply moved and he was troubled. Now, verse 36, the Jews thought his weeping and emotion was in regard to Lazarus, but in fact, it was in regard to them. He was grieving for them. He was grieving for Mary and Martha. Verse 38, look at this. Jesus, therefore, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave and a stone was lying against it. And so I want you to see that Jesus' feelings and his emotion did not subside. They continued on until the actual raising of Lazarus. Jesus wept. You know, that's not just who Jesus used to be. That's who he still is. He can be grieved and pained when he feels the things that we feel, and certainly grieved when we disappoint him with sinful behavior. And keep in mind also that seeing him full of mercy and compassion here, ever living to make intercession, and the compassionate response, he also shows us the Father. John 14, he shows us the Father. Now, why did God reveal? There's so many more we could look at. But hopefully you can see from these examples. Why did God reveal these character traits about himself? What did he want to convey to us? And the answer is exactly what the words mean. God is not only wise and powerful, he certainly is, but there's also an emotional aspect to our God. God doesn't rule his creation with an apathetic indifference. God genuinely cares about us. Our relationship with God is not simply an accounting system of right and wrong. God feels actual joy when we trust in him, as any good father would, and actual sorrow when we don't. Remember Luke 15, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. The words of Peter, 1 Peter 5, casting all of your anxiety upon him. And then what's the reason Peter gives? Because he cares for you. It's not because God is all powerful, though he is. It's not because God is aware of all you're going through. He certainly is. But the reason Peter gives to pray and cast all of your burden on him is because he cares for us. He truly cares. And that's why we need to do another reason we need to do that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I long for you with the affection of Christ. I long for you with the affection of Christ. Now, what did Paul understand about the affection of Christ that we need to understand? Paul was saying, in essence, what I feel for you is such affection that might be found in the very heart of Jesus. Do we have that kind of affection, or striving to have at least toward one another? We should. It's important to understand that unlike man, God has perfect emotional balance. He perfectly loves righteousness. He perfectly hates sin. There are no flaws in God's emotion. But man, on the other hand, is full of errors. We often love the things we should hate. We hate the things we should love. We're angry when we should be calm, and we're calm when we should be angry. And so God teaches us to learn from him like everything else. His word is truth. We're sanctified in the truth. And one important truth is joy. Christians should be joyful people. Fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. Now, that doesn't mean we always have a smile. Doesn't mean we always feel good. But it does mean that the gospel of Jesus will affect us. It will rather affect us in emotional ways as well as intellectual ways. You look at those Jews in Acts 2, when they heard the gospel, what was their response? We understand it and we are pierced to the heart. That's an emotion. And on down in that chapter, Luke tells us that there were many signs taking place at the hands of the apostles, and that the people kept feeling a sense of awe. They were feeling a sense of awe. 2,000 years later, when we read and we experience the power of God's word in our own life, do we feel the same sense of awe and wonder at the glory of God? Sometimes it's expressed in unashamed joy and praise, sometimes falling on our knees. Who hasn't been reading the word of God and at some point just fallen down on his knees and started praising God? Who hasn't done that here? Sometimes just a calm inner peace that the world can neither touch or understand. Now, some of us have fought many battles against the new charismatic movement. It started around the early 1900s, really took off in this country. And because of that movement, which is the things that are done, unfortunately, in that movement are not a 30-second cousin to what you see here. But in fighting those battles, let's not go to the other extreme and have no emotion. The abuse of something doesn't mean the thing itself is wrong. It just means it's abused and it needs to be corrected. Let's not go past Jerusalem into the Dead Sea. We need to learn, like our Heavenly Father, the truth and how to respond in the proper way to that truth. We should never be ashamed to show pure, reverent, godly emotion in our worship to God. As the psalmist said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and great joy. A little boy was crying when he heard a lesson on Jesus' death. and what Jesus went through to save us from our sins. And his mother reached over and said, "Son, you need to settle down." Well, as the sermon continued, he continued crying, simply got louder. And she said, "Son, you need to be quiet." Sermon continued. He was now crying much louder. And so at that point, she reached over and she said, "Son, don't take it so seriously. We need to take it seriously." What he was expressing is what many have expressed through the centuries. Not only an understanding, but the proper emotional response to what Jesus has done. And then praise and joy in the glory of his resurrection. Will you pray with me, please? Lord God, our Father, who loves us and cares for us very much, we pour out our burdens upon you, Lord, and we're thankful, happy that we can put these at your feet, knowing that you are all powerful. You can do whatever you choose to do, and whatever you choose to do, we thank you for that. It's right. It may not be what we're thinking of, the answer we're seeking, but whatever you decide, we know you love us. You're the best father we can have, we've ever had, and you'll do what's right for us. And we thank you for loving us that much to give us what we need and not always what we want, but we trust you and we know you care for us. We love you. We know you love us very much, and that keeps us going, Father. Thank you so much for this assembly of your people, people whom you have saved, your sons and your daughters. Thank you for the good and honest hearts that are here, Father, to hear your word. And we pray that this word has reached the heart of each one so that we can take your word and not only understand it, but never be ashamed to express our faith. Never be ashamed of you, Lord. Please forgive us anytime we have been in any way ashamed to express our love, our reverence, our joy in having this relationship with you. You mean everything to us. You are everything to us. We praise you. We exalt your name, Father. Thank you for this occasion to study these things together. Please bless our study, all the studies, the efforts we've made to glorify you. May you be glorified. In Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen. Is any this morning whose heart has been pierced by the gospel, studying the word of God, and you're ready to give your life to such a loving, gracious Father? We invite you to do so now as we stand and as we sing, please.